Hello and welcome. My name is Corey Ahonen, and I'm the Deputy Director of Health and Community Services for Financial and Veterans Services. Since 2018, I've been the Veterans Services Officer for the town of Easton, and during a recent reorganization in our department, I became the Deputy Director for Financial and Veterans Services. Under this new role, I provide services to veterans as well as any resident needing financial assistance to maintain their housing, utilities, employment, and food security. Through referrals to outside agencies, my office will work with residents and their families to determine individual needs and program eligibility. The purpose of this program is to provide valuable information to our veterans about the benefits they have earned through service to our country. Over the next few segments, you will see informational interviews with subject matter experts on VA healthcare, VA education benefits, vet centers, VA home loans, and other service providers in the veteran community. Let's begin by discussing some local supportive services available to our veterans. What is a veteran service officer? A veteran service officer, or a VSO, is a municipal employee that provides assistance to veterans and families regarding federal, state, and local benefits. The VSO is an advocate for veterans in the community. The VSO's job is to help other veterans in the community learn about, apply, and in some cases, receive benefits. Every VSO is a veteran. To be defined as a veteran under the Massachusetts General Law, a person is required to either have 180 days of active duty service and be discharged or released under honorable conditions, or have 90 days of active duty service, one day of which is during wartime, and be discharged or released under honorable conditions, except for Vietnam I, which requires 180 days of active duty services. Any questions on this can be directed to my office. Mostly can be answered on your discharge documents, whether that be a DD-214 or NGB-22 for National Guard. Next, we'll discuss some monetary benefits and assistance. VA compensation. This is VA disability compensation, and it ranges from $152.65 per month to $3,517 per month, excluding what you would receive for dependents, children, and dependent parents. VA compensation, disability compensation, is a compensation program where veterans can be evaluated for injuries or medical conditions sustained during service that can be connected to their military service, and they will be compensated for those through this program. Now, along with the VA compensation comes a lot of other benefits, including state annuities, property tax exemptions, and a variety of other benefits. But for now, to keep it simple here, we will just discuss the basic overview. VA pension is a needs-based, means-tested program for lower-income asset-eligible individuals and is also sometimes known as the non-service-connected pension. It's also based on age and time of service. There are also property tax exemptions for veterans, blind veterans, service-connected disabled, 10% to 100%, and they range in as they are specific to each community. The state minimums are $400 for a 10% service-connected disabled veteran to receive off their property tax, all the way up to a full property tax exemption. In the town of Easton, we recently passed the Massachusetts General Law, Section 22F, which Section 22F exempts a full property tax for a Gold Star parent's residents in the town of Easton. There are also additional benefits, special monthly compensation, aid in attendance. Aid in attendance is when a veteran may need special assistance in completing activities of daily living, such as grooming, getting dressed, handling medications, bathing, preparing meals, and other essential activities of daily living. This benefit can add an extension to the either the 100% VA rating or the VA pension eligible individual. Those are the two ways that you would be available, or you would have aid and attendance available to you, is if one, if you are a 100% rated veteran or a VA pension eligible veteran or surviving spouse. The surviving spouse can also receive the aid and attendance as well. Additionally, there is dependency and indemnity compensation, which is for surviving spouses of service-connected death veterans, right? So a veteran who died due to a service-connected disability or a veteran who died on active duty, the surviving spouse will receive this dependency and indemnity compensation. At that point, they are also eligible for the Massachusetts State Annuity, which I will get into momentarily, as well as some other benefits with the property tax exemptions. MGL Chapter 115 is a needs-based, means-tested income assistance program, and the current rates for this year are income for a single person below $2,147. And if you are a married couple, it's your income monthly before taxes must be $2,904 or less. And assets below $8,400 for a single person and below $16,600 for a married couple. A common question with this on the assets is certain things do count as assets, any cash, savings accounts, checking accounts, stocks, bonds, trusts, IRAs, a second vehicle only. So your home and your primary vehicle do not count as assets. So again, any questions on this can be directed to your Veterans Services officer. They're the ones who conduct the initial application for all these benefits, especially this Chapter 115, being that it's a town-based benefit and it is reimbursed by 75% each year if done correctly by the towns. The state reimburses that 75% each year. Next, we have the Massachusetts State Annuity, which I touched upon in the dependency and indemnity compensation. To be eligible for the Massachusetts State Annuity for veterans, you must have that 100% permanent and total rating as a veteran or surviving spouse of a 100% permanent and total veteran who held that rating for 10 or more years. In addition, if the veteran died of a service-connected disability, the spouse is also eligible to apply. Gold Star parents are also eligible to apply on an individual basis. So if there are two living parents of that veteran who passed away on active duty, making them Gold Star parents, each one is eligible to apply. And as that benefit looks right now, it is $1,000 tax-free given through that annuity, which is twice a year, once in February and once in August, a total of $2,000 a year tax-free on top of what our veterans and surviving spouses receive to be eligible. Next, we have the VA home loan, which we go into great detail in our VA home loan segment. I will save the details for that for our expert. And we also have the Easton Veterans Discretionary Fund here in Easton. It's a donation assistance fund. It is 100% donation driven. We have quite a bit of donations come in and out of that account each year. It goes to provide items necessary for daily living and to ensure the dignity and independence of our veterans in the town of Easton. That fund, a couple changes that we made that are important to note. Upon my, you know, taking over the Veterans Department, we decided that the traditional definition of a veteran, which I talked about in the last slide, was not maybe not the best definition to follow for this fund. The aim of this fund is to help anyone who needs the most help. And a lot of times we find that those are those folks who don't meet that criteria and they don't have any other benefits. So we decided to open our Easton Veterans Discretionary Fund to adopt a local definition of anyone who's ever served, anyone who's ever worn the uniform for one day or more, If you do not have a dishonorable discharge, you are eligible to seek assistance through this directly through my office. Next, we assist with the welcome home bonus. This is the requirements are to be a Massachusetts resident at time of entry. There are bonuses for each era served. So if you did not receive your bonus, say in Vietnam when you got home, please reach out to my office or reach out to your veteran service officer to get that information. They can help you determine whether you have received that or not and how you can apply. More recently, we have our welcome home bonuses for our returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are some of the larger welcome home bonuses. We see some folks receive $1,000 for their first deployment and $500 for any subsequent deployment. There are multiple factors that determine how much money you'll receive, and that is determined by your DD-214, where you served. You can use citations from medals you received, commendation medals that say where you were, how long you were there, and your veteran service officer can help you apply and provide the documentation that will prove that location. On the next slide, we'll discuss education and career counseling benefits. So first of all, you have your Chapter 30 Montgomery GI Bill. That is payment directly to the individual, and then tuition and fees are mostly covered. Basically, the individual will get their money directly deposited to them, and they will do the disbursement to their institution of higher education. And again, that pays most of the bills to in-state school for in-state tuition. You get into some of your more expensive schools, you may find that you are not receiving the full amount to pay that tuition and fees. It's all program dependent. Then you have the Chapter 1606 Montgomery GI Bill. This is the Reserve Education Benefit. And that provides a monthly stipend to the individual student. They are probably currently serving in the reserve on a 6x2 contract. And they're receiving this benefit. It amounts in the hundreds, probably about $500-$600 a month. They report to the school that they are attending at a full-time basis. If they're attending at a part-time basis, that amount is prorated. And I would urge you to please see your VA education counselor at your institution, your school or university, and they will be able to tell you how much you can expect for each individual situation. Next, we have a Chapter 31 VR and E program. They recently changed their name from Vocational Rehab to VR and E, Veterans Readiness and Employment. And this benefit will cover tuition and fees, supplies, books, parking fee, counseling, and basically anything that is needed by the veteran for them to be successful and continue in school. The only thing, they won't pay for are things that they don't directly relate to your attendance at the school or your education goals or your career goals. That's really, the program is focused around career. And again, we get into these benefits deep detail in our VA education benefits segment. So next we have the Chapter 33 Post 9/11 GI Bill. This benefit covers tuition, fees, BAH, book stipend. BAH is a basic allowance for housing. Based off the zip code of the school, so not the zip code where you live, it is the zip code of the school. And then the tuition and fees are paid directly to the school. Now, if the tuition and fees exceeds the amount, which in Massachusetts is for, would be based off the most expensive state school, which if it hasn't changed, that was UMass Amherst, and if the tuition and fee amounts for your school exceed that amount, that of the most expensive state school, there is the Yellow Ribbon Program, which can help bridge that gap. Say if you attend a private university that is more expensive than that cap. You may only transfer this benefit to dependents while you're still on active duty. That's a common misconception that, you can transfer this after the fact, or you could transfer it to your grandchildren. Unfortunately, it's only transferable to your direct dependents, your spouse, children, stepchildren in some cases. but that needs to be done while you're still on active duty, and we'll go into some fine detail about that during our education segment. Chapter 35, Dependents Education Assistance. This provides roughly $1,300 a month to a full-time student. This is usually, it's always a dependent of a veteran, but in some off cases, that dependent could also be a veteran themselves. So, you know, you may only use one of these federal benefits at a time. This particular benefit is similar to the stipend program in the Chapter 1606 Montgomery GI Bill on a larger scale. These folks receive a $1,300 roughly a month. That number seems to go up each year. And it is to the dependents of 100% permanently and totally disabled sponsor, which would be a veteran. And that's for each of their dependents. So say a veteran who's 100% permanent and total, they have 10 dependents. Well, each one of those gets their own Chapter 35 benefits to use. It is limited to the number of months, and it's usually enough to complete the degree and in a traditional program. And it's roughly, like I said, $1,300 a month, that number changing each year. And those students, those dependents are urged to contact their VA education representative at their institution to apply and use this benefit each semester. Additionally, heavy on the career counseling here, we have Mass Hire Career Center. They got their DVOPS, unemployment services, resume services. They can help you, you know, get connected to career resources and find a good connection for you coming out of the military to, you know, what may be a good fit for you if you're looking to enter the workforce directly. Again, resources to help get yourself prepared for that as well. Contact those folks with the state. Next, we will discuss medical assistance for veterans. So, VA healthcare is available to all veterans who are granted a discharge under honorable conditions. This includes the general under honorable conditions. That's another common misconception. A lot of veterans also get upgraded for VA healthcare purposes only. So this is also provided that they meet financial criteria or have a service-connected disability. It's also available for all Global War on Terrorism veterans who have been discharged during the past 5 years. So you can attend your first VA appointment and then make sure you follow up within those 5 years and you will still be covered. We discuss the VA also in great detail during another segment as well, and you'll be able to hear much more about that. So some other benefits and services locally that are offered. Out of my office, we offer flags and markers, so you can see them in the picture here, the picture on the left. They are the grave flags, and they fit into the markers, which we have markers for each conflict from the Civil War all the way to current Global War on Terror, OEF, OIF. And then we also have plain U.S. veteran markers for those who may be unsure which category they fit into or which category their loved one fit into. We give the U.S. veteran, it's a beautiful marker. They're made of heavy bronze. And the markers tend to last quite a while, but the flags get replaced every year in May before Memorial Day. My office, VFW commander, Legion commander, and many of their members, along with local students, Easton Public School students come out, and you know, there's about 40 to 50 of us go out and we do all 1,300 flags get replaced before Memorial Day so their loved ones can go honor their veteran at their grave site. Another benefit that's available is this burial at a national cemetery. Now, veterans are afforded this burial at no cost. They are given a gravestone, a flat gravestone, or another gravestone of their choosing, as long as it's accepted by the cemetery in which they are buried. The National Cemetery has the flat markers, and they're able to put the veteran's name, dates of service, date of birth, date of death, branch of service, any special medals or citations received. They can fit quite a few characters on there. It's a pretty great service, and once those are ordered, they're usually sent about 3 to 4 months, and they get installed. The National Cemetery has a quicker timeline on that, and they do direct install and handle that, all that directly. But those stones are also available for private cemeteries as well. They are coordinated through the cemetery directors, funeral directors, and the families themselves on the installation. To receive military honors at a funeral, the first step is always to speak with your funeral director. They usually contact the National Guard units. If it's Air Force or Army, they'll contact the other branches as they're able. And they also have resources with the Patriot Riders and other organizations that provide honors for veterans at a funeral, whether it's an escort from the funeral home to the cemetery. They do some pretty amazing things, and you see some pretty amazing tributes to our veterans by these organizations. The VFW and American Legion in town, I have a segment coming up shortly where we meet with both commanders separately, and they discuss what their organizations do in our community, how we work together with them, and what they do to provide support to the community at large. We have many other service organizations and nonprofits locally that we lean on and we lend a hand to as well. Service organizations that assist financially, they assist with mental health treatment, they offer free programs for veterans. It's amazing, you name it, and it's out there. And there's a lot of services for veterans out there in the nonprofit world. Another service that we provide advice on is getting that veteran's annotation on your license or getting a veteran's ID card. The veteran annotation on the license, that's done obviously through the Registry of Motor Vehicles, and the ID cards are done through your local military bases if you have that 100% service-connected disability and you are eligible, or you are a spouse who's eligible. Those are done at those specific duty stations, active duty ID card locations. There are various locations across the state. They make their own appointments and their own hours, so please contact them directly. There's one at Joint Base Cape Cod, Hanscom Air Force Base. There are other locations as well that can be found on their website. I also handle DD-214 requests through my office. We just need some basic information, social security number, date of birth, the veteran's name, date served, and we are able to, in most cases, get that DD-214 either through state archives or national archives. State is a pretty instant request, and the national archives takes, lately it's been taking upwards to 6 months or more. Something to also be on the lookout is that hiring preference for military or time buyback for local, state, and federal government jobs. Currently, there are hiring preferences all over for military veterans in the private, nonprofit, and public sector jobs, especially your federal jobs. They're going to have that hiring preference at 10-point, 30-point, based off of your service-connected disability and veteran status. Now, the military buyback time, that's another one that is commonly requested, is in local and state government, veterans can buy back 4 years of their active duty time. Now, federal government, they can buy back all of their government time or all of their federal service through the Armed Forces service that they completed. They can apply that to their federal government job or their state and local government job. Which is pretty amazing. They will spend some money buying that back, but it results in an earlier retirement date or, you know, a higher higher retirement pay, or, you know, however you work it out with your retirement board, whether it's your local and state or the federal government, it can definitely benefit you to look into buying back that time. And I'd like to just end this summary with discussing our veterans' greatest needs. So, you know, it's always individualized care. Veterans are people too, and, you know, they need the same things everyone else needs, right? So I like to, when we're looking at a problem, rather than say, oh, it's a veteran problem or it's a, you know, this type of person problem, it's a problem, right? And a lot of the similar solutions we use for other situations can be used to help veterans as well. You know, that's not to say that there aren't specific cases where veterans do need that individualized special treatment, other, you know, that is outside of the norm. But for the most part, I think it's the greatest needs are just taking that extra time to get the whole story and show that you care. Whole health treatment is huge, you know, that mind, body, spirit. You know, if you got a problem for each one of those things, there's a solution in each one of those categories as well. And the continuity and follow through of the service providers, that's huge. So, you know, to start the process with a veteran if they're having an issue is one thing, but to follow up and follow through, that means, you know, that can mean a world of difference to that person who's going through that tough time. Or, you know, sometimes what we need is that follow up to keep us on the right track and keep us on the path to getting a problem resolved. Community support is another huge one. It's something we see a lot here in Easton. We see a lot of community members show up to our Veterans Day or Memorial Day parades. Community members show up to reflag the graves, like I had mentioned. Community support goes without saying is one of the biggest needs that our veterans have when they are coming home, is to know that they're welcomed and supported, and that they can fit back into society in their own way. And awareness and knowledge of what's available. You know, outreach is one of my most difficult pieces of my job, is making sure everybody hears what they need to hear, right? So the responsibility is really on all of us to spread the word for anything that can help. Word of mouth is probably one of my best ways of getting resources out to those who the resources are available to. It's amazing the amount of people I hear. They call me, they say, oh, my neighbor mentioned you and, you know, wanted to come see what was available, and or I saw this newsletter, or I saw this email or this post on social media. You know, so there's not one size fits all when it comes to outreach. We need to have outreach across the board. So just awareness and knowledge of what is out there is number one, and it helps me do my job. So, you know, and I'd like to just thank all of our Eastern residents for helping me to provide the support that I am able to our veterans, whether it's through, you know, financial assistance or just being there for them to hear, or, you know, showing up to a Veterans Day ceremony or Memorial Day ceremony. I couldn't do it without the support of the community. So I speak for all veterans when I say thank you for your support. And we thank all our veterans for their service. All right, so my next guest here is Michael Kelly. He's a loan officer with Radius Financial. Thank you, Michael, for being here today.
Thanks, Corey, for having me. This is great.
Yeah, this is awesome. So I first met Mike in 2018 when he reached out to my office through the BSU Bears Network, fellow alumni. Yeah. And he wanted to just give me a rundown of what was available out there for veterans who were interested in using the VA home loan and what I could share with my veterans here in Easton. So I invited Mike to come down to my office, and we had a little chat, and he gave me the rundown of all the details involved. And I was so impressed with my meeting with Michael, I decided to ask him to help me with my own VA home loan, and we went from there. Michael does a lot of work for veterans using the VA home loan with his team, and they're there to guide you through the process. So I will let Michael tell us a little bit about himself and what it is that he offers to our veterans.
Well, again, Corey, thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely.
And as I was saying off camera, I wish I had more VA loans or more veterans to deal with, because the VA loan is such a great program and such a great benefit for veterans to really take advantage of. Mm-hmm. The pricing and the rates are generally lower than a conventional bank rate. Why? Because it's guaranteed by the U.S. government. So, I mean, there's more oomph behind it. There's more guarantee. It is guaranteed. So you generally get a lower rate. The pricing structure has changed from way before, where the veteran couldn't pay points, the seller had to pay points. Generally, we deal with no points now because the rates are so good. And like I said, I wish more veterans would take advantage of this. There's a lot of people in the past 20 years especially that are veterans that this opportunity is there for them. And it's programs like this that make them aware that, you know, it's something they should look into.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, veterans get a good sense when they're coming out of the service nowadays. They have trainings that they go through. And, you know, there's folks like myself, veteran service officers in the towns, at least in Massachusetts, there's one in every community who can give you a rundown like we're doing today, has information on their website, has pamphlets that have these, you know, details and things provided and available to them. But I think it all starts with that certificate of eligibility.
That's exactly
so,
right.
In order to get that, you know, you have to contact the VA. Does your office help with obtaining that at all, or is that something you ask the veteran to?
No, basically, what we ask the veteran to provide to us is their DD-214.
Great.
And once we have the DD-214, we can go through a VA portal. We'll get the certificate of eligibility for the veteran, and that certificate is going to give us all the information we need. We're going to see if you're entitled to a reduction of what they call the VA funding fee. I mean, if you have a service-related injury.
Yep, service-connected disability.
That's right. That VA funding fee, which is their insurance, their PMI, so to speak, that's waived. The
VA, how much is that roughly, ballpark?
It's 1% of the loan amount.
So that could be a significant amount.
Right, if you were borrowing $300,000, that 1% would be added to your loan, so instead of borrowing $300,000, they let you finance it. So now it's $303,000. But if you have that disability, then they waive that. So now it's gone. Now that VA funding fee is a sliding scale. I mean, they have different funding fees for different lengths of service. And if you're a repeat user, that funding fee may go up. If you're doing what they call a VA rate reduction refi, that's a set of a half a point, unless you've got that.
That's the IRR.
Yeah, the VA interest rate reduction refi, the VA IRRL, IRRRL. So the funding fee is a sliding scale depending on what you did in the military, or how long you were in the military, or if you were just a reservist, if you were active. So it changes. And if you have that service-related disability and it's waived, that's an awful lot of money.
Interesting, yeah. And I know, I mean, there's a lot of ins and outs with all these, you know, VA-related benefits, and especially this one. And not to get too far into the weeds with it, but I know there's a different... There's different eligibility criteria for reservists, National Guardsmen who didn't have active duty versus those who were traditional, you know, active duty and meet the veteran requirement through that. So my office is available to help folks get their certificates of eligibility or that COE as well, or just, you know, begin, if they're interested, just some basic level information before you speak to the experts here.
A DD-214.
That's great.
All we need.
Awesome.
And we can get started and we can advise you which way to go.
Great. So how is the VA loan looked at through the eyes of a lender or the eyes of the seller? Or is it highly regarded,
well,
or is it?
It's evolved.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I mean, there's a termite report that's needed, and the veteran can't pay for that termite report, so someone's going to pick it up.
You got to get someone to agree, whether it's a real estate agent
or a
seller.
The agents could chip in or whatever, but as long as the veteran does not pay for that termite report. But overall, lenders, we love VA loans. I mean, they are an easy loan to do. We have pretty much total control of the whole process. The only thing that we don't have control over is the appraisal. We contact the VARO and they assign the appraisers. They have their set list of veteran appraisers. And again, they keep it in-house. They keep it for their veterans. And that's fine. But everything else we do in-house. We make the decisions right there. We don't send it out to the VA. So what the bank looks at, I mean, it's guaranteed by the U.S. government. So we look at it as a pretty good loan, a lot safer than someone who needs PMI with 5 or 10% down. The other thing, too, is there's inspections. There's more inspections than there is with a conventional loan. And we're looking out for the veteran.
To protect the veteran, right?
That's
to
right.
make sure they don't get into a home that's
Because
got
the
heavy
VA
problems.
Doesn't want the veteran to run into problems the first 6 months of the loan.
Right.
You know, and so the home inspection is going to be important. They don't require it, but they strongly urge you to get one.
Yeah.
The only thing that there might be some resistance is the down payment. There is no down payment requirement for VA loans.
But you can if you'd like.
If you want to put money down, you can. Generally, and I'm not a real estate agent,
sure.
so I can't speak to this specifically, but if a seller is accepting offers and he has an offer where someone's going to put $10,000 down, you know, now
yep.
in escrow, and you're a veteran, you know, I'm not putting any money down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they might be inclined to go with somebody that they have
right.
a tangible benefit.
Right.
But whatever money you put down on a VA loan, if you're not putting it down towards the down payment, it's going to come back to you at the closing. So it's all coming back to you. It really
yeah.
is a no money down.
So use it as a tool to create that strong offer then.
Right.
And you, just
use it
to
as,
your
as something to show the seller your good faith intentions
yeah.
of proceeding.
Yeah. Now, I know I can speak for myself. The VA home loan, you know, got me my start in home ownership and
mm-hmm.
and led to, you know, being able to purchase my family's home and things like that. So it's really a great benefit to not have to have that huge money down. And I mean, some other forms of conventional loans are as low as what, like 3% down?
3% down.
So it's not that typical
right.
20% back years ago that is
not
almost unrealistic these days.
But I tell you, if I'm a veteran, talk to the professionals. But if you say, you know I don't have to put any money down, but I'd really like to put down $10,000.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to talk you out of putting down $10,000. But if I show you that putting down $10,000 is only going to lower your monthly payment $45.
Sure. Right. Is it that worth? Is it worth it?
Really?
Yeah.
Do I need this $10,000 for window treatments?
Right.
Do I want to buy furniture? Do we need a new washer or dryer?
Yeah.
You may want that $10,000 cushion and just finance the house on the government
yeah.
money.
And that's huge. You wouldn't necessarily be able to say that to your conventional.
No, you can't. You say, look, you're putting...
you need every cent you can
yeah,
scrape.
5% on this loan is $15,000. Well, what if I put less? Well,
you don't get approved or you whatever.
There's issues, yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's great. So the VA home loan, it's, you know, hands down, it's an advantage to
It really is an advantage.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people that wish they could get the VA loan.
Sure.
But no, it's a privilege to give them, and it's a right that you guys and ladies and gentlemen should take advantage of.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, it's, you know, you hear about it when you're in. I was on active duty 7 years, and you don't know all these things that are going to be available to you when you get out. Mm. Some people may,
mm-hmm.
you know, I certainly didn't do my research before I joined about, you know, in 10 years I'm going to be buying a home and what's available. No, I wasn't thinking about any of that, but it was amazing to come out and come home to, you know, these great benefits that are available. So thank you for helping provide the, you know.
You went to school. I'm sure you
absolutely.
Used
the GI Bill, same idea. Yeah.
I mean.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, so. Especially the risks in the past 20 years.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about veterans using this to buy their home and things like that. Can veterans use the VA home loan to buy a rental property or
you
secondary?
You can't use the VA loan to buy a house you're not going to live in.
Okay.
Now, if you want to buy a multifamily, a 2-4 unit that you're going to live in, the VA will do that, but there's going to be some restrictions on that.
Mm-hmm.
One, they want to see that you have a history of handling money, because they don't want you to go into a property and you're depending on three other rents to help you make it.
Yeah.
But you don't know, you've never been a landlord.
Right.
Or your occupation, you've never collected funds, you've never been a bursar of some sort.
Sure.
So they're really going to look at your history as to how you did this. Now, if you can qualify, let's say you want to buy a two-family, and you're not going to count the rent, let's say your income is strong enough that you don't need the rent, then yes, they're going to give you the loan and not even consider what the rent is.
Okay.
So as long as you can qualify it not counting the rents, they're not going to look at what type of job you have.
Right.
But if you need the rents, that's when it gets a little bit more intricate.
Well, that makes sense. So that's good to know, because I do think you have some single veterans or younger families that are, hey, I'll live on this side of the house and rent out the other side. Mm. So that's good to know if they're able to support that on their income alone, it's less likely to have an issue.
You just raised a point, single veterans.
Yeah.
You can, and if you're single and you have a significant other, you cannot count that significant other's income. If you're buying a house together and you if you want to use the VA benefit,
it's your own veterans' income only, right?
You've got to be married.
Yeah.
Or if your significant other is a veteran, you've got two veterans buying the house, then you can do it. But if you're
on one VA loan.
No,
separate.
Well, it wouldn't get two separate loans. They'd have one loan, but each would be chipping in their entitlement.
Okay.
Okay. But if you have a non-spousal co-borrower, mm-hmm. We can't do it as a VA loan. I will tell you, in the past, I've had buyers that had a big wedding planned. Mm. They still had that big wedding, but they also had a justice of the peace marriage certificate to get that VA loan.
Ah, okay.
So they had a legally
married.
They were legally married
to carry out.
That's right. They were married, husband and wife, in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, in the eyes of the church.
Yeah, right.
So it does, there are ways that you can work with this.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a really good point, because you may think that, your, non-marital partner is, able to become qualified with you, but it's just not the case. So that's a great point you bring up. And I'll ask you, what's one piece of advice you'd offer to someone who's currently looking to use their VA home loan, get into the housing market, and buy a home? I know that's a really broad question, but if there's any...
Get your paperwork.
Yeah.
Find your DD-214. Contact me or somebody that you're comfortable working with financially, and just sit down and go through it. But without that DD-214... it will take some time. Mm.
Yes, it can take a lot of time to get those. Depending on if it's in the state database, I can help get it pretty instantly. But if it's not and we have to get it from the National Records Archive, that can take up to 6 months or more. So
most veterans have their DD-214.
I hope they do. Some don't, though.
Yeah, but then you're right. There are the veterans that have been out of the military for 25, 30 years.
Right.
And they never used their VA benefit.
Yep, that's true.
So, my father was retired for like 40 years before he bought his first house.
And he used the VA home loan?
He used this VA home loan.
That's great. Yeah, I have a lot of folks who, they've owned their home for a long time and they want to refinance. They mm-hmm. can refinance with the VA home loan, too. How does that work?
If you currently have a VA loan.
Yeah.
And you just want to reduce your rate, there's something called the VA interest rate reduction refi.
Okay.
And it's quite simple. The VA administration says, you know what? If you've been making your payment on time mm-hmm. at, let's say, 2.5% or 3%, well, why wouldn't we give you another loan at a lower rate and lower your payments? So it's minimal paperwork, and there's no appraisal involved.
Right.
It's just something that the VA, and I wish a lot of conventional people would say, well, that makes sense. If you're making your payment at this rate, of course you're going to make it at a lower rate. So the VA will do that for you. If you want to take cash out, it becomes a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. We're going to get an appraisal to make sure the value is there mm-hmm. for you to take the cash out. So, but if you have a VA loan currently, those options are available. If you don't have a VA loan, if you have a conventional loan, but you are a veteran, and you shop around and say, well, boy, that VA rate is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's talk about refinancing your conventional loan into the VA loan. And you can do that too.
Great.
So it's easy to do. It's fine to do. And 2020, the year that all the rates came crashing down, that was a big year. I think we closed $66 million worth of VA loans.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a tremendous sum. And a lot of that was obviously refis, whether it was the interest rate reduction refi or if it was veterans just taking cash out or people converting their conventional loan to a VA loan.
Yeah. So, and what are you currently seeing as far as the numbers, and what are you seeing? I know you're on the finance end,
right,
obviously, but what are you seeing in the market these days?
Well, we're still seeing pre-approved buyers out there discouraged because their offers weren't accepted.
So it's still busy.
It's still busy.
Inventory.
But it's not the really large bidding wars that we had in the past 18 months. But it's still, you know, it's still a seller's market out there. So you should just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're talking to me or another financial person, set your expectations realistically. Mm-hmm. You know, say, well, I'm not going to spend a penny more over this.
Right.
But, you know, if $40 more a month increases your purchasing power by $10,000, have
Can
an open
you do
mind.
It? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Have an open mind.
Crunch the numbers again. Or
right. Or if you're a veteran, say, I'm going to buy a fixer-upper. No, you're not. Because the veterans doesn't want
that's right.
you
they
to
won't
get a fixer-upper.
Yeah, they won't let you.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to buy a house that's safe and secure, and there's nothing that you have to immediately fix.
So a question I know that I had when I was buying my first home, and I hear it from a lot of folks, not even veterans, just anyone, how do you decide how much you can afford? Is there a rule of thumb that you look at?
When I first got into this a long time, 40 years ago,
yeah.
A real estate person told me, she said, she shows people houses, what they say they can afford,
mm-hmm.
and what they wish they could afford.
Yeah.
And somewhere in there, you know, I mean, If I'm talking to a couple and they're saying, well, we want to spend X amount.
Right.
And then I say to them, I'll take the numbers out and I'll just show them how much they're qualified for.
Mm-hmm.
So once they have that figure, they say, okay, well, I am comfortable with that. But then you start talking to them. If you see a house that you like, and oh, I'll do the kitchen and the bathroom later. You know, when we save up some money, I'll do it then. Say, okay, well, look, here's a house in this price range, and it's, let's say it's $30,000 more, but mm-hmm. you don't need to do
right.
the kitchen or the bathroom.
Right. And not only saving time, but money and
right.
all that. Yeah.
So if you see that and you can afford that, and say, like you said, time. You've got to take the weekends out. You've got to take the evenings out.
That
I got to do that.
Large value, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And once they start talking, once people start talking, and they realize what they can afford, they can start visualizing what they can afford,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that big of a leap.
Right. And I think it gets tough where, you know, you see what you're approved for and you think, oh, this is great. Well, that may not necessarily be as much as you, or you may not want to borrow that much.
Mm-hmm.
You might even want to borrow more than that if you
right.
can get approved.
And this is what I tell people. I said, look.
Very individual. And
right.
It's
I
difficult.
Say, I don't want to. Let's get you pre-approved for the maximum you can get.
Sure.
I'm not saying you've got to strap yourself to the wall, but it's a lot easier going backwards than it is going forward. So if you say, I want to get pre-approved for 250 and that's it, and then you go out and you see that house for 280. Geez, I wish I had a pre-approval for 280.
Yeah.
But you know, if you had a pre-approval for $400,000.
You don't have to use all that.
You don't have to use all that.
You have more options.
Right.
And
that's what you do.
Okay.
I'd rather shop down than say, oh, I can't look at that because I'm not pre-approved.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess, could you tell our viewers how they can get in touch with you at Radius or how they could get started with this process through you?
Well, you can. You can contact me direct on my cell number. It's 781-799-9799. Or you can go to radius.com and you can look me up. They have all the different loan officers there.
Great.
I actually had somebody call me from Florida. They said,
wow.
I said, how'd you get my name? They said, well, my husband went to the website and he said, He just liked the way you look. I said, gee.
Sometimes,
I said, I wonder how many I've lost.
Yeah. You know? Oh, no.
But anyway, so that's all you have to do.
Yeah. Great.
Feel free to contact me, reach out online, and we'll go from there.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Mike. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been, like I said, I've been on radio. I've never been on TV.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great outreach tool. So thank you again for being here. We really appreciate
Continued success.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in and learning about the amazing benefits that are available to our veterans. If you have any specific questions regarding your eligibility, please reach out to your veteran services officer located in your town or city hall. If you live in Easton, please reach out to me and I'd be glad to help. I can be reached by email at cahonan@easton.ma.us or by telephone at 508-230-0690. Also, be sure to check out the other videos in this series that outline numerous other benefits that are available to our veterans. As always, thank you for your support and continued service to our veterans.